here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Alpha, Omega, Adonai. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, that you are a tower of refuge. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God that fights for us. You are peace to us, joy to us, loving kindness to us. But your throne is set for judgment on every form of wickedness, that we, your people, might know the abundance of supernatural favor. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us and making us new creations for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to see you tonight. This morning we began sharing a message in a sense that will be a series of messages addressing the fact that we, as God's people, are more than conquerors. We went through a series of messages about trials and temptations. And in addressing that subject, when we talked about temptations, we're not talking about temptations and us failing. We're talking about temptations, and in spite of the temptations, no matter how big or small the temptations might be, that we win. That the grace of God is sufficient, and God's presence is there to help us experience the goodness of God in every sphere, at all times. For God says in His word to us that He causes all things to work together for our good. Because we've been called according to His purpose, and because we are loved. I don't respond to queries on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else, but I remember a striking one that came, and I wasn't even talking about anything heavy-handed, and this person writes and says, "You Christians, you guys think you are so special, that you are so wonderful, and that you are chosen of God." He was so upset about that. I wanted to respond back and say, "You got that right." I don't know what it would have done to him. But that's the idea. Everyone who chooses and accepts the love of God becomes a special class. We are not just first class. We are God class. We are Jesus Christ class, because we become one with Him. Amen? He says, "Where I am, that's where you're going to be also." He says, "I'm going to come. If you open your heart up, I'm going to come in when you hear me knocking, and I will sup with you. I'm going to sit down and eat with you. I'm going to fellowship with you." The Bible tells us about two men, disciples of the Lord, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, died on the cross, and they were heading home. Jesus, our Lord, had risen from the dead at this time, and they were all mesmerized about all that was happening, and here comes Jesus and comes walking alongside of them. And they did not know it was the Lord. And they invited him to their home, and he went to their home. He sat down with them, and he broke bread with them, and then he left. And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened, and they knew they had been with the Lord. Because when Jesus is with you, revelation takes place. That was a good place to say amen. Don't you want Jesus to be with you? I said, when Jesus is with you, revelation takes place. Amen. He impacts your life. The other day, I don't know what I was doing, but the Lord began to speak to me about something regarding iniquities, regarding connections that are made with people, that many times we stay connected because we've not heard the right word. We stay connected to our past generations, and that there are bloodline curses that take place. But he said, you know what? When you recognize by revelation who I am in you, I cleanse your bloodline. So I clean it up. The things that should have affected you stop affecting you because I clean that bloodline. Most times we'll say, shouldn't that have happened automatically? Yeah, depending on the depth of how you connect with God and whether you heard the incorruptible word of God when you got saved. If you heard the word and the word said to you, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but you remain poor. You're going to heaven, but you remain sick. That's exactly what your experience will be. You'll be very saved, but very sick. The reason we don't bury people in this church is that we don't believe in dying. Hallelujah. So once in a while, somebody might die, you know, when they're tired. But I'm not ready to bury people. Why should I be burying my church members? For what reason? Every Sunday I'm expecting you here, or Wednesday or whatever, and you say, the person died. I'll come and wake you up. Get up. You're not supposed to go anywhere yet. Who told you you're supposed to die now? But one day it will happen. I know it. I remember when a dear Sister Esmeralda, some of you will know her, Esme. For about a year and a half, she told me, Pastor, I want to die, I want to go home. I told her, you see me? You're not going anywhere. She said, but Pastor, I want to. I said, you're not going anywhere, not until I'm ready. Because she was my children's grandma. She was grandma. That's all they knew her as. Ashley, when Ashley was, I don't know, 2 years old, two, maybe going to three, got off her crib, put a jacket on, opened, put a step in one of these step in whatever it is you call it, steppers, opened the lock, walked out while I went to drop the brothers at school. She was supposed to be in bed. Mama woke up, didn't see Ashley, and was wondering where Ashley was, or maybe I took her. And when I came home, she said, where's Ashley? I said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I said, she should be in her bed. She said, what bed? I've been looking there. She's not there. So we went up and we looked. Ashley was gone. I have never been scared as I was that day. I was, where could my daughter be gone? We searched, we had our own local alert. Everybody in the co-op searching everywhere. We went into the mall looking for Ashley. Looking everywhere. We couldn't find Ashley. Finally, Sister Esme got home and calls us and says, oh, Ashley is here. I said, Ashley's where? Ashley went to her house. That's how connected we were. And she's saying, I'm going to die. You're going where? You're not dying. And I remember the day, about a year, because I was traveling so much. I told her, I don't have time to bury you. Finally, I said, after she's asked so many times, I said, who do you want to bury you? She said, you, Pastor. Me. You know I travel all the time. I said, yes. I said, I don't have time to bury you. I will not be here. But I remember the day I was lying in the afternoon on my couch, and I was going to be in the city for about 2 weeks or something like that. And I said to the Lord, I said, concerning Sister Esme, if you want her, no less than, it wasn't even 30 minutes. It wasn't even 30 minutes. I got a call from the nursing home. Sister Esme, I was busy chatting with the nurses and the attendants. About the same time that I said, you can have her. I don't think it was even 5 minutes. She was perfectly okay. They came, she asked for something, they went to get it. By the time they came back, she flew out. She was gone. Gone. They did everything and they called me. Said, we think Esmeralda Clark is dead. And she was very close to her house. I took her off and go there. Sure enough, she was gone. That was it. The power of believing affects and impacts every area of our lives. Many years ago, when I got saved in the 70s, part of the reason why I did not want to be a pastor, I've told you this story many times, was because pastors at that time were broke, dirt poor. And I came from a decent family. We had all kinds of businesses. I was sentenced to a life of luxury, prosperity, servants, everything. It was so bad that I didn't know how to put gas in my gas tank. If the gas tank emptied out, I got out, took a taxi, and found one of our drivers to go take care of it. Spoiled rotten. Then you're asking me to come and be a pastor. For what reason? Nah, we're not doing that. I know you're God, but we're not doing that. I argued with God for many years. My dad had me as a firstborn, and I was a male, and then there was a series of girls, no boys. Then he did his wild oats, and other girls came in. He was looking for a boy. Gets married, a second wife, and the first child is a girl again. Finally, a boy was born. And the boy was born May the 5th. And my birthday is May the 6th. Write it down, make note of it. May the 6th, Pastor's birthday. And Pastor does not receive empty cards. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So I said to the Lord, I said, you know what? You're calling me to come and preach. Like 2 weeks after I got saved, he's showing me the vineyard, the harvest field, and calling me, showing me crusade grounds and stuff. I want you to come preach for me. What? Not me. Not doing it. So I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I'm the firstborn, right? Say, yeah. I was born May the 6th. Yes. The next boy to me is born May the 5th. May 5 comes before May 6th. Take him. That's it. I said, take him. I will support him in the ministry. But me, forget about me. And the Lord says, shut up. I didn't say I'm calling him. I said, I'm calling you. So my last argument with God was, okay. Come, let me show you something, I said. I don't know what's happening with my mic this evening. I said, Lord, let me show you something. What do you want to show me? So I opened the Bible to Ephesians. And I read to the Lord. I says, you see here? It says here, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. I say, guess what? My father doesn't want me in the ministry. He wants me to leave the business, take over the family business. Yeah. And would you know, God honored his word. The God who spoke to me every day through dreams, through visions, sent people to me. God is sent me to tell you that he's calling you, that you should obey him. For 6 months, nothing. I got to shut God down. By quoting his word. But the fact is, God holds his word above all his names. So as soon as I pointed to him, his word, which was a covenant statement, got backed off. So, okay. Until September 5th, 1976, and you know the story. In a Thanksgiving celebration, my dad had given something around 22,000 US dollars equivalent. At that time, Nigerian money was strong. Our currency was stronger than the US currency. It's not like today. Today, you want to get $1, it's anywhere from, might be 800 and something, equivalent of our currency to one. But then, I give you one naira, you give me $1.20 or $1.30 or $1.40. Our money was strong. But that Sunday, a friend of my dad came and gave equivalent of about $25,000. That's the first time that had happened, because my family, we gave the biggest. The church actually started in our living room. But that didn't mean that I lived for God. Until I got saved, that's a different story. That day, my dad, remember I said, God doesn't want me to. God said to deal with my dad in the service after he'd given. And he comes to the pastor. We just finished singing what would you call a Negro spiritual. It was a series of songs, a medley. And while we were singing, we came to a place where we said, singing, free at last, I thank God, I am free at last. And I heard God. We're all singing, and I heard him. He said, Michael, today, your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry. And I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. I stopped. Who's talking to me? Everybody's still singing. Nobody's looking at me. So I go sit down in the choir loft. And there was a monitor, something like that, just by my side. While my dad was talking to the pastor, the mic was picking what they were saying, and I could hear from the monitor by me, pastor saying, Chief, because Chief Evivier gave more money than you, doesn't mean you have to come back and give again. It's not a competition. And my dad says to him, No. This is not about competition. God is asking me to give him something very special. Okay, go to the mic. So he goes to the mic and he says, God is asking me to give him my only son. Remember I said we had another son. And by this time, there were two or three other boys in the family. But till this day, I don't know why he made the statement, only son. Every time I want to ask him, something else happens. He says, God is asking me to give him my only son, my firstborn. And the power of God hit that church. Pow! Chairs were flying all over the place. People were falling under the power of God. We've not seen people sustaining in the spirit before. They're falling all over the place. Bang, bang, bang. And people are screaming. Demons are taking off. And me? I don't know how I got from the choir loft to the center of the altar. On my knees. My hands are up. I don't know if God just picked me up from there and slammed me right there in the dead center of the altar and says, yeah, and you stay there. But that was it. We were in Warri. This happened in Warri. Lagos is some 200 or 300 miles away. No telephones, no text messaging, nothing like that. My dad's junior brother takes off from Lagos, shows up in our house the next day, attacking my father, who is the elder brother. You don't do that. And then when he saw me, he turned away from my father and starts attacking me. Foolish boy, they put you in the church plate and you are happy. It was after all of that that happened, I thought about it. How did he know? Who told him? If somebody even went from Warri to Lagos to tell him, they would have been endangering their lives traveling at night to go tell him, who knows my uncle? Nobody in the church, and nobody from the church went down there to Lagos. How did he know? It was spiritual. Because he was an idol worshiper. Demon spoke to him about the shakeup that took place. Just like right now, demons are hearing there's a shakeup. Things have changed at Glory and Peace. God is on the move. God is touching the lives of his people. Lives have been transformed. Minds have been renewed. Miracles are happening. What God started some 47 years ago, God is manifesting now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everyone here today is here by the will of God. You're not here by accident. When Brother Reuben and his family left Nigeria to come to Canada, we thought, oh, we're going to Canada. But that was not the beginning and the end of the story. God says, you're going to a place called Glory and Peace Church. When Brother James and his family left Sierra Leone, they thought, we're going to Canada, to Winnipeg. They did not know they're going to Glory and Peace Church. When Sister Sandra left, wherever she left, I was living in Iskildonen. I remember you used to be with Women's Aglow and stuff like that. And God brought them here. And she stayed here. She didn't know. When Todd left, when Candy, everyone, Pastor Paul, and Pastor Pat, God was engineering everything. Sister Candy, she was here for a while. And one day, for whatever reason, Mama and I went to High's Steakhouse. Is that where we met? Yes. And there is Candy. I think she actually paid for our meal that day or something. I don't know what happened, but she returned after years of being away. Sister Catherine left and returned. There are so many that came, left, and came back because this was the marked place for them. And there are many in this city that have their address at Glory and Peace Church. And today, by the authority of the Word of God, with the megaphone of God, I call every one of them by the name God calls them. And I say in the mighty name of Jesus, come back home now in Jesus' mighty name. Nobody's here by accident. Everyone is here because God has a place for them. God has an assignment for you. Ryan is not here by accident. God has a place. Every one of us have been called by God for our generation and for generations to come. Amen? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We are declaring today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that Glory and Peace Church, as the Father sees it in heaven, is manifested in the earth. in the mighty name of Jesus. Every person, not one soul left behind. Every single person that God has assigned for this house, in the mighty name of Jesus, come to your rightful place this very moment. Hallelujah. And anyone that God has not assigned for this house, that is not meant to be here, today in the mighty name of Jesus, you are fired from here. Go to where you belong. Bye. Thank you for being here. While you were here, we appreciate that. But now it's time for you to go, because the right people for this place are coming to take their rightful place. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. There is a prepared place. And at the appointed time, everything begins to fall in its rightful order. God told Abraham, when he made a covenant, he says, your children, your seed, they're going to be in a foreign land, and they're going to be there for 400 years. He says, but I'm going to bring them back to this land. This place, I have given it to you and to your children and to your children's children. God made the same covenant with Isaac, made the same covenant with Jacob, because he's a good God. But let me tell you something. I don't want to tell you too much. Jacob had how many children? He had 12 boys, right? And a girl. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Yes? Jacob deceived his father, Isaac, took the blessing that was meant to be Esau's, and he flees. And as he fled, he comes to a place called Bethel. And he lays down there and made a stone his pillow. And God opened his eyes, and he sees angels ascending and descending. But the word of God says ascending and descending, meaning that the angels were there already. They didn't descend and ascend. They ascended and descended. And when he wakes up, he says, God was here, and I did not know it. And the place was called Bethel. But guess what? His fathers have been there. God sends him. He comes to Laban's house. He's working for Laban. And the Bible says he asked for the hand of Laban's daughter. How many of you remember her name? Rachel. So they do their thing, they celebrate, and lo and behold, when he wakes up in the morning, it was not Rachel that was in the bed. It was Leah. So, Pastor, where are you going with this? Just hold on. Come along. Leah is the one that he has. He's married to Leah. But Leah had crooked eyes, lazy eyes. Leah is not beautiful. And he's stuck with this woman now. And he goes to Laban and says, Laban, you deceived me. You put the wrong woman in my bed. That must tell you something. A woman is a woman is a woman. Because he could not tell the difference. He could not tell the difference. Whether she was beautiful or ugly, it made no difference. It was the same experience. So here he is, stuck. And the man, Laban, says, around here we have our culture. We have our own system. You cannot be marrying the junior sister and leaving the ugly one here. Huh? You got to take that one. But if you want this, I make a deal with you. Let's make a deal. What is the deal? Work some more years, and I'll give you the special one, Rachel. What? What is this nonsense? But I want Rachel. You can have Rachel? No problem. You can have Rachel. But Leah, you tasted the goods. You bought it. You keep it. Rachel, you want? Work some more years. Oh. So the guy begins to work some more years to get Rachel. What is the moral of this story? We have 12 tribes. We could have had just two. But the interesting thing is, watch this. Leah keeps on giving birth to children. And Rachel, that he wanted, is barren. Rachel's son is supposed to be number one. And that son's name was supposed to be Joseph. But he ends up being number 11. Leah gives concubines to Jacob. And the concubines give birth. Rachel tries the same thing. Same difference. But ultimately, we end up with 12 sons. What the enemy planned for evil, God was busy working with. Because Rachel could not have given the 12 tribes. And Leah couldn't have done it. But God, watching the landscape, says, I'm going to cause all things to work together for my good and my purpose concerning them. And so even in the mistakes, even in the error, even in the sin, even in the mess that took place, God was there working out the fine details to make sure that the 12 tribes come out. And then he changed the name of Jacob to Israel. Are you with me? Now it is that people that ended up in slavery in Egypt. It was still all part of what God saw. God doesn't tell you everything he sees, friend. God doesn't tell you everything he knows. So you must trust God for every situation, no matter what is happening, the highs, the lows, the in-betweens, the sweet and the sour. To God be the glory. 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 No matter what is happening in your life, to God be the glory. I don't know what you are doing, but I know you have great things in your mind. This looks terrible, but Lord God Almighty, something is happening. All I was used to were hard-boiled eggs, but here we've got scrambled. This tastes different, but it's eggs. Oh, these are broken eggs. What are we going to do with this? We've got some flour. Doesn't taste good. We've got some salt. Doesn't taste good. We got some sugar, too sweet. We got some butter. None of this tastes good. This is gross. And when God is finished with it, oh, this is yummy cake. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Hey, that's God. That's God for you. That's God. Because God is always putting things together in a fashion that you never imagined. I don't know what has happened in your life, but God causes all things to work together for good. The Word of God is very clear about that in Romans 8. God causes all things to work together for my good. For those that love Him, God causes all things to work together for good. For all those that are called according to His purpose, God calls all things to work together for good. Please be reminded of that tonight. Something may happen when you step out these doors. I may want you to say, oh, why me? And I say to you, why not you? Do you know why God allowed that to happen? Does He have something on His mind that you are totally unaware of? Why was there a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, that afflicted the people of Israel? Why did that have to happen? They were increased, were multiplying, they were great, and amazing things happened. Why? In one of the first songs God led me to write was a song called "Those He Predestined, He Called." It went something like this. Those He predestined, He called. And those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He shall glorify. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Walking down the street one day, I need to call back all of my giftings. Things are happening, and they don't know why. If you looked at it from the natural, things were bad. But the Word of God, as we read this morning, for every attack that the people of Israel, the Hebrews, experienced, for they were called the Hebrews, they continued to grow. And we declared this morning by the authority of the Word of God that we will continue to increase, we'll continue to grow stronger, multiplied, moving forward, no matter what. Everything the enemy tried to do to subject them, to subdue them, everything failed. So that you and I may know that no matter what the devil does, we will continue to thrive in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Pharaoh, out of his own mouth, says, these people are mightier and they are greater than us. So let's do something to subject them. Do you know that's how the devil sees you? That is petrified, terrified of you? While you lay down on your bed and you just move a little bit, demonic forces are so petrified that you're about to wake up and that you're going to open your mouth and you're going to begin to praise God and you're going to begin to declare decrees in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to be saying things and God is going to take those words that you are spouting out of your mouth and he's going to do something extraordinary with it. That as you are speaking in tongues, that you are bypassing the systems of the evil one and that you and I are taking hold of territories and turning the world upside down because absolutely this is what happens when God's people realize who they are in Christ Jesus. Things begin to be turned in their proper order and the world will say things are turned upside down. Just like the rod that Moses picked up. God said, pick it up by the tail. And when he picked it up by the tail, that snake turned back to a rod. And now the head of the snake was what he was pounding on the ground. Basically saying, what God said from the beginning, his heel is going to bruise the head of the serpent. So is it true today that God is going to use you and I to torment the forces of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? Every satanic agenda fails now by the authority of the word of God. Do you receive that word? Amen. The enemy comes at you and thinks he's got something going. He's got nothing going. No. The enemy comes and steals from you and thinks he stole something. The Bible says when you identify the thief, he's got to pay 7 times more. So I say for everything that the enemy stole from this place, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, 7 times more. That's 700%. Hallelujah. We get ahead, not behind. We get increase, not decrease. We get established, not destabilized, because of the word of God, the promise of God. And God's promise is to you and to your generation that you and I will impact our world by the authority of his everlasting word and declare in the name of Jesus Christ, thy kingdom come, O God. Thy will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bless us and increase us, multiply us, cause us to walk in the fullness of the words of greatness in Jesus' mighty name. The children of Israel, Bible tells us, when Joseph died, another king rose up. And I said to us this morning, when somebody dies or when something dies, it impacts other realms, positively or negatively. When a father or a mother dies in a family, it changes the whole chemistry of the family. Is that not true? It can change their emotional makeup. It can change their financial setup. It can change all kinds of things, positively or negatively. If a company fails, dies, it's going to affect somebody. No business goes out of business when it is a thriving business and somebody not be impacted by that business. Other families will be affected. Everything that happens in your life, it's like throwing pebbles in the water. There are going to be ripple effects. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that the ripple effects that come in your direction be ripple effects that cause you to become greater, not less. That everything that happens around us brings the blessings of God to us. Amen? I shared with us this morning that Job understood that. Job understood it. And so, when you read, for example, Job chapter 29, and I'll encourage you to read that particular chapter of Job 29, you will see different things being spoken about, secrets. Let me just do that for our benefit this evening. And then we'll pray. In Job 29, it says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head. Oh, someday I should preach on this passage of scripture. There's so much information. When by his light I walked through darkness. I say that these words be relevant and true for us now, in Jesus' mighty name. That it will not be something of the past, but it will be a present walk in our lives. He says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. So the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Hallelujah. Rivers of oil. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eyes saw me, it gave witness to me. Why? Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing, watch this, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. Hallelujah. Those that were about to perish, their blessing transferred upon me. Why? He says, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. When something died in their lives, instead of them being sorrowful, joy came to them because of the blessings that were upon my life. Amen? I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you and I, every single one of us, will be agents of godly, joyful change, transformation. Hallelujah. Job was simply saying, listen, I was a thermostat. I came and I regulated the atmosphere. Blessings were pouring into my life. It says, I put on righteousness. That is what God calls us to do today. To put on righteousness. He says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was a father to the poor. And the cause which I knew not, I searched out. If I didn't know what the answer was, I looked for it. I found the solutions. In essence, he was saying, there was not a problem that was not solvable. And I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that we will be that kind of a church. That will be a people that solve problems. If we don't know what the answer is, we'll find out what the answer is. So that people are strengthened, people are established, because the goodness of God must be made manifest in our time and in our generation. He says, I break the jaws of the wicked. Hallelujah. And plucked the spoil out of his teeth. If there was an enemy that took something, I went there and I smashed that mouth and I took whatever it is that it took and I restored it to whoever it was taken from. That is the church of Jesus Christ. That is this church. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God was going to do this for the people of Israel. For God said, all nations will be blessed because of faithful Abraham. We didn't get saved so that we can just go to heaven. We got saved so that we can be salt in the earth, so that we can be light in this dark world, so that we can be God's voice in the earth, so that we can address governments as the prophets did of old. Address governments, address leaders, and told them whatever it is that they were doing. The church has lost its place, but that place must be restored because we recognize who we are. We are the sons of the Most High God. We are the ambassadors of the Most High God and of His kingdom. We represent heaven in the earth. The world is the way it is because the church has failed to take its rightful place. You cannot be a mega church and not speak to the government of the day. To the city, to the school division. We're the church, and we have no say. We're the church, and those that are practicing alternative lifestyle are busy running our system. The tail is wagging the dog. Is that not what's happening in our world today? Where's the church? Where are those that are speaking to power? You know, there is the power of God in the supernatural realm. But God also uses something called money. For the Bible says, money answereth all things. Part of the reason why the church sometimes is broke is because if it has the money, it also has the power in the earth. Those two things work together. Solomon asks, when God asks him, what do you want? Solomon says, I need wisdom. I need to have insight to how to lead your people. And God says, I'm going to give you that. But I'm also going to give you something that you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you money. For the word of God says, wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Sometimes when God becomes your refuge, he does it through those two things. Therefore, we must have it. Amen? I said we must what? Have it. And you will see that in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, that one of the promises God gave to Moses right before he left to go to Egypt was this: they are not going to leave empty-handed. You are going to have all the silver and the gold, and you're going to load your children. It's going to be so much, you're going to have to load your children with gold and silver. The next generation, everybody. And when they left, there was not one weak or feeble person. Now I'm praying and declaring the mighty name of Jesus, that as God brings about the transformation and says to us, full house, it's not just a full house of people. It's a full house of wealth. It's a full house of spiritual giftings. It's a full house of resources of every kind, so that there is nothing lacking in this household of God. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Father, you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We receive your abundant grace. Let your word be sealed in each heart, in each life, and let each one be fully transformed and each mind renewed to accept your divine purpose, so that, Lord God Almighty, every agenda of the enemy be brought to naught. Thank you, Lord, that you are multiplying us, you are enlarging us, you are increasing us, and you are increasing us not just to increase us, but so, Lord, that we can impact our world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving and bless the name of the Most High God. I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come close in prayer for us.
Thank you, Father, for your grace that is upon us, your grace that's upon this church. That this church is changing now, that the hearts of people around here are changing. We thank you for the people that are coming in. We thank you for your glory that is shown in everybody's heart, in everybody's lives. And the goodness of God will be manifest in everything that they do, that your word will come through, that the riches that are in you will be downloaded to us through the giving of the saints. We bless you, Father God, with everything that you give us each and every day. All the benefits that you give us, we thank you for them as well. I pray, Father God, that each and every one of us will go home and keep on worshiping you. Each and every day, each and every moment of the day, you will keep us in your prayer, in prayer, so that we continue to worship you each and every moment. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying. Well, I see that we have some people online today, this evening. Brother John, it's good to see you. Sister Jeanette, hallelujah. Oh, wow. Ariel, bless you. Amen. And I don't know who Zoom user is, but thank God for every one of you. We're excited to see you participate this evening. Oh, Sister Carol, bless you, and Brother Bill, amen. It's good to see you all. Continue to enjoy the goodness of God and prosper in his loving kindness and his tender mercies. And look forward to seeing you on Wednesday for the Bible studies. And of course, on Friday, we look forward to seeing you also. Enjoy the goodness of God, and let God's peace garrison every heart. Amen. Praise God. I see there are two people down here.